and sit down.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back once again to Vicious Rap Cynical Sam, your host, Mr. Main Event himself, the often imitated, never duplicated, Superstar Tim Vicious, and we're gonna go over Raw this week. Was in San Antonio, Texas, and well, I'm not gonna lie, I always make the argument wrestling fans do need to limit expectations, you know, and all, but I fell victim to not limiting my own expectations because I don't know how I did it, but I convinced myself, oh, they're in San Antonio, it's Texas, it's WWE, they got a good, decent friendship with the city and the state, so yeah, maybe we'll get a run in, we'll have a small little cameo, if you will, from Shawn Michaels, and we did not, and pardon me, felt a little disappointed, and then I had to remember, you know, you really need to limit your expectations. No one ever said nothing about Shawn being there. Nothing was even hinted about the possibility of Shawn being there, so don't do that. Don't do that to yourself. Yeah, I did. So, before we get into the show, though, big news, breaking news that broke the day of this recording. It was officially announced. Paul Heyman, mein savior, Paul Heyman, is going into the WWE Hall of Fame. And I cannot, words cannot put, I'm so lost with words of joy. I don't even know on how to say it right. I'm at a loss of words for on how happy I am for Paul finally getting the recognition, getting the praise that he deserves, because being a South Philly kid with the ECW arena just a few blocks from my house, man, those three letters to this day, 38 going on 39, those three letters still hold so much to me. Still means so much to me, I can't describe it. Not only that, he helped jumpstart so many guys' careers. And I'm not just talking in ECW like RVD or Taz or Tommy Dreamer. No, you want to look at other guys that he helped build? Let's take a look at his time in WCW. He helped get Steve Austin off the ground. He worked with Rick Rude. You know, hell, he did his time with AWA, with Vern Gagne. It's, honestly, I could do an entire episode about Paul Heyman, but I'm not going to sit here and do that. But I'm just going to say, Paul, hands down, very creative mind. I'm so happy and absolutely love the fact that they're choosing to have him be inducted in the Hall of Fame in Philadelphia. It is so great to see. Thank you, Paul. So, with that said, before we get into the show, we're going to switch gears and talk about last week via the SmackDown Rewind and the big highlights from last week's SmackDown. It started out with the Bloodline coming out, Roman, Jimmy, Solo, Paul, all out, and then introducing The Rock. The Rock comes out wearing like a $1,500 or $15,000 looking Versace vest. And folks, this segment went long, like 30 minutes. It was well over 30 minutes. And to sum it all up, Rock trashed the town, trashed Cody, trashed Seth, and then proposed a challenge for night one of WrestleMania, a tag match, Cody and Seth versus Roman and The Rock. Now, if Cody and Seth win, the Bloodline will not be anywhere near the match with Cody and Roman. Nowhere near it whatsoever. Which some people have speculated could be the way to help introduce Tama Tonga since he's no longer in New Japan. Maybe? Question mark. Maybe not. However, Rock said, not if, but when we win, we referring to Rock and Roman, then you and Roman will be contested under bloodline rules. Anything goes. Anything can happen anytime. So then as the Rock's about to end it doing, if you smell, then Roman just puts his hand on the mic. Rock lifts his head up. Roman looks at him. Before we go any further, I need you to do one thing for me. Acknowledge me. And everyone's just like, oh, shit, what? And then The Rock just looks at him with a straight face. Roman Reigns, I acknowledge you, my tribal chief. And it's like, whoa, did we just witness somebody literally selling their soul on live television? Because I feel like we just did. I feel like we just witnessed somebody selling their soul on live TV. Holy shit. So, yeah, that was, then that ended. So as far as matches that happened on SmackDown, Naomi won against Tiffany Stratton, and according to the rumors and the gossip, and take rumors with a grain of salt, apparently this match had time cut off of it and the entrances were cut. Both girls got the jobber entrances. No music, no nothing on TV. Because Rock went about 10 minutes over on his segment on that promo. And honestly, I'm going to say this about that. I've said it before when people have complained and put it on my timeline on Twitter. Oh, Rock takes too long. Rock talks too long. Rock does this. Rock does that. Okay, I get you feel that way. But you try being one of the people in the back. You try being one of the people that work back there and have not just the balls, but the wherewithal to think you can go up to The Rock and say, hey, Rock, you went 10 minutes too long on that segment. Because I guarantee, that person is going to wind up either being the coffee bitch and just fetch everyone's coffee for the rest of the night, for the entire crew for the rest of their career, or wind up getting shit canned and getting fired. Because ain't no one gonna want to tell Rock, listen, Rock, you went 10 minutes over, man. Short from you being, especially now with him being the chairman, being part of the board for TKO, you know? So, yeah, dude, if the boss goes 10 minutes too long, don't go complaining about it. So, yeah, Naomi versus Tiffany. Tiffany got the win. I'm okay with it because Naomi's already established herself as a top star. She doesn't need the wins right away. Tiffany is establishing herself with the main roster audience. I get it. I watch NXT. I know how good she is. There are people that do not watch NXT that don't know who she is and don't know how good she is. Let her get a couple wins under her belt. It's not going to hurt people, I swear. Then we had women's tag title action. Bayley and Dakota Kai go, baby, they're going up against the Kabuki Warriors, if you will. Got Kairi Sane. She does the insane elbow, if you will. Of course, it's not as insane as the bionic elbow from American Dreams of the Rose. And then, ooh, baby, you got Asuka. Asuka, honey. Asuka. She going to spit that miss. She going to spit that miss right at you. Okay, I'm doing way too much Dusty with the Kabuki Warrior thing. Don't ask me on where I got that from. I just thought of it right out of nowhere, thinking Kabuki and Dusty Rhodes. I don't know. What the fuck? Yeah. So, decent match. It was going good right up until Bayley. She was getting treated like the punching bag. Went to go for a tag. And then Dakota just jumped off the apron like, fuck off. And then Bayley just slid like, wait, what? 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 And then getting the crap kicked out of her by Io, Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota. So it was a clever, it was a trap, it was a ruse. Bayley was tricked. Tricked. Flim flam. Stooped. Smickledorfed even. That's not even really a word. But yeah, Bayley got one over on. They got one over on Bayley, and my God, this is going to help build her up to be even such a bigger, scrappy underdog babyface for her match at WrestleMania. And I am all freaking for it, baby. Bron Breakker had a quick squash match against Zion Quinn, which, honestly, I kind of forgot all about Zion Quinn altogether. Like, holy shit! Yeah. So, yeah. Carlito had a street fight against Santos Escobar. It was a good match. Wound up seeing the return of Rey Mysterio came back. It was so good to see them. He got a really great pop for that from the crowd on that. He wound up helping Carlito get the win against Santos. And then we had Randy Orton doing a match against Austin Theory. And this came to be because Theory and Waller, they were laughing, looking at something. And then it was something with Randy getting knocked. It was when Randy got knocked out by Logan Paul. And then Randy snuck up on him. Hey, that's funny, huh? Yeah, that's funny seeing me knocked out. Hey, here's an idea. How about I go talk to Nick Aldis and I get a match tonight with one of you two goofs and I knock you out and see on how that funny that is, huh? So, yeah. It was a good match. Kevin Owens was on commentary. I love Kevin Owens on commentary, man, because he does what he does best. He just never shuts up. And he was going. Randy got the win at the end. Owens came in to save Randy from getting a sneak attack on him. And then Randy and Owens, like, yay! Cheering. Happy-go-lucky. They good guys win, bad guys lose kind of deal. Bing, bang, boom. So, yeah. Now, so with that said, let's get into this week's show, Raw San Antonio. So, we already talked about the main thing that happened on the show, the opening segment. Well, we didn't actually. I'm sorry. I said we were gonna. That was a brain fart on me. Cody came out, then introduced Seth, and they basically did their version of a politician answer where they talked a lot, but they didn't give a straightforward answer on do they or do they not accept that challenge. And then at the end, Cody and Seth wound up saying, we'll be at SmackDown this Friday, and we'll give you our answer then. But, as Seth was coming down to the ring, they did announce on commentary, Cole did say it on commentary, clear as day, and he even showed the little graphic on the bottom, his match against Drew McIntyre is on night 2 at WrestleMania. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure all bets are it's tag matches happening. So, yeah. So, let's get into our first match of the night. Dominic Mysterio versus Gunther. Good God almighty, this was good. Gunther leading right at the start with Dom trying to get a fight back after the commercial break. But, man, it was just... Whew. Man, oh, man. Excuse me. I know a lot of y'all hear me use that analogy, like seeing somebody pick, like seeing a 5-year-old pick a fight with Mike Tyson in his prime. Well, instead of a 5-year-old, picture a 13-year-old picking a fight with Mike Tyson in his prime. And that's pretty much on how this what looked, because it was damn good. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But my God, Gunther just was like, oh God, dude, just end it already. Come on, he's already dead. Like, yeah. It came to an end when Gunther, he had a real, I mean, folks, you got to look and see this for yourself. The powerbomb itself, he hoisted Dom up, held him up for like a good 3, maybe 5 seconds, it felt like. and then dropped him. And I mean, like, dropped him like you thought he had, like, an 80-pound bag of cement over his head and was just like, boom, and threw it and just let gravity take over. And then after that, he rolled him over, put him in a Boston Crab. Dom tapped out. They then announced later on in the show that next Monday they're going to do a gauntlet match, and the winner is going to face Gunther at WrestleMania. It's going to be Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Ricochet, Bronson Reed, excuse me, JD McDonagh, and trying to remember the fifth gentleman. Ah, Chad Gable, I apologize. Momentary lapse in judgment. And yeah, so honestly, smart money, it's going to be between, honestly, I see it more so coming down to either Sammy or Gable, because I could see either guy winning that. So next matchup we have women's tag action. We had Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark going against K2, Kayden Carter, and Katana Chance. Shayna and Zoe, they were leading into the break. Damage Control was literally sitting on the commentary table in front of Pat McAfee and Michael Cole, and the whole time Pat McAfee was complaining, well, you know, I'd do a lot better calling this match if I could see what was in front of me, but instead I can't because Damage Control is sitting right here on the table. Which, again, I've said this before about Pat McAfee on commentary, it is such a blessing, because really, hearing an actual fan's perspective doing the commentary, it's nice to hear. It is. It's a nice change of pace. Excuse me. Like I said, Shayna and Zoe, they were leading into the break. After the break, Kayden and Quintana, they were leading for a good bit. Match came to an end when they did the party roll, I believe they call that finisher. And then Kayden wound up doing it. Kayden did it. And then as Katana went for, they went for the pin, Shayna pulled her out, popped her with an elbow. Katana started arguing, yelling at Shayna about it. Zoe wound up getting her for a quick roll up. For 1, 2, 3. Afterwards, it was a stare down with Damage Control and Zoe and Shayna saying that, hey, listen, we get that you girls are defending your tag titles. You girls are going to be defending your tag titles at NXT on Tuesday. But next week on Raw, we got winners. So it's announced that Shayna and Zoe are going to have a tag title match against Asuka and Kairi Sane, provided they win the tag title match. So, yeah, next up we got the man, Becky Lynch, going against Nia Jax. And, whew, Nia, she was dominating and leading right up into the commercial break. And, man, I've said this before, but with Nia's return, I'm all for it, because the way she's being billed and presented, instead of coming off as like this big, giant, intimidating monster in like an Andre the Giant or Kane kind of way, she's being presented as like a big, powerhouse kind of monster, almost like an Vader or a big boss man kind of way. And I'm all for that, because she's not a giant monster. She's a big girl, but she's not big like giant-wise, so don't treat her like that, you know? Now, Becky, she started to get a fight back post-break, and that match wound up coming to an end as Becky was starting to build a comeback. Nia stopped her, wound up going for a Dominator, missed, rolled out of the ring, went to go get her bearings, turned her head, and next thing you know, Liv Morgan showed up out of nowhere. wham, popped an elbow on her, and then started getting in the ring, screaming and yelling at Becky. Liv Morgan walked away, and then Becky was like, grabbed Liv. Them two start slugging at each other, and then Nia winds up stepping in. It turns into a three on everyone fighting everyone kind of roll, and then Nia walks out. And at one point, as she's leaving, she gets up in a fan's face, starts screaming, yelling, takes her hat, takes the fan's hat off them, and then whoosh, throws it back out into the crowd. So not only is Nia Jax a damn dirty heel, she's also a damn dirty hat thief. Wade, make a note, we need to try and get Damn Dirty Hat Thief as a copyrighted so we can try and get that as some merch. Yeah. Next up, we had Andrade making his return match on Raw since his return from the Royal Rumble, going against another guy who, honest to God, I forgot all about, and I feel bad on it in a way, Apollo Crews, because, man, I freaking love Apollo Crews. The guy can go. But I felt bad because I forgot all about him just because on how top heavy WWE is. And they're not top heavy in a bad way. And this is, I mean, if you want to split hairs, you could say, yeah, this is a bad way. Because you got guys on the undercard that are so good you forget are there. But I don't know, in a way it's kind of a good thing and a bad thing, because you got somebody that's really good, but you're like, you know, we also got this guy here who's really good. Kind of, I'm going to go off on a tangent and I don't want to. Either way, Andrade wound up getting the win. There was a lot of good back and forth into the match. It was a short-lived match. It was just meant to make Andrade look good. It was some back-and-forth action. He got the win doing the running knees in the corner. And then doing the Lissambara, the hammerlock DDT of his. Next up, we got tag action again. Finn Balor and Damian Priest going against Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci from Imperium. So This had a lot of good action right here. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Finn, he was the punching bag for a bit at the start, with Judgment Day leading the pace up until the commercial break. Post-commercial break, Finn wound up becoming the punching bag again. Priest wound up getting the hot tag in, cleaning up house, like I said, this was a damn good match. Like, I really enjoyed this match. And it was good. I thought it was nice. It came to an end when Priest wound up hitting a South of Heaven chokeslam on the Giovanni. And before that, Priest looked at Finn's like, it's time for the Prince to fly. Because he knocked Ludwig Kaiser out of the ring and then looked at him. Finn went to go get a running start. Priest pulled the rope down so Finn could go and do a jump over, and then wound up hitting the finish. So next up, we had Sami Zayn going against Ivar from the Raiders, because Sami was getting interviewed. Ivar didn't like the fact that he wound up getting a spot in the Intercontinental Gauntlet, and that Sami got a spot in the Gauntlet and he didn't. So, yeah. Before the match, the biggest takeaway from the match has to be, hands down, Valhalla came out, she was wearing the antlers, and then, as she got to ringside, got on the commentary table, took off the antlers, and put them on Michael Cole. And Michael Cole did the entire match with those antlers on. He just held the microphone up to his ear like this, like that, and yeah, folks, the picture's out there of Michael Cole wearing it. That is now going to be, hands down, one of the funniest pictures to when we go back and talk about post-pandemic era, because, listen, we don't talk about the lockdown, and we'll vaguely reference the Thunderdome era, but when we talk about post-pandemic wrestling, that picture has to be mentioned. That's all I'm going to leave that out. So as far as the match with Sammy and Ivar goes, Ivar, he was pretty much leading and powering over Sammy right up into the break. Sammy, he was fighting post-break, trying to build up a good bit of a comeback, but it was always like one forward, three backwards kind of deal with him on that. He got the win, though, when Ivar took him down. He went up for the Doomsault, went, Sammy rolled out of the way, so Ivar missed. Ivar then, over in the corner. Sammy then, boom, popped him with a huluva kick. 1, 2, 3, that was it. Afterwards then, big Bronson Reed, the big strong buddy, wound up coming down, beating the crap out of Sammy, and then hit him with a tsunami. So yeah. Now we come to main event of the night. Jey Uso, Drew McIntyre. This has been building up for a while. And Drew, he was leading right at the start, up into the commercial break, even got his face up into the camera as they're going the commercial break. Yeet! So, yeah, angry, petty Drew McIntyre is one thing. Angry, petty Drew McIntyre yelling yeet into a camera, well, that's just enough to make you be like, okay, I don't want to fuck with this guy. So, yeah. I dug the match. I thought it was good. Drew, he was pretty much leading and dominating for a good percentage of the match. At one point when Jey was starting to build a comeback, Solo Sikoa wound up coming out through the crowd, and then he's just standing there on the other side. And then that's when Cody's music hits. Cody comes down, runs down, starts throwing slugs at Solo. Throws him over the barricade and then starts chasing him off there. Jey starts building a comeback. Winds up popping one or two super kicks onto Drew. Getting ready to go and climb up to do the Uso splash. He looks outside. What's he see? None other than his twin brother, Jimmy Uso. So Jimmy winds up coming out. Distracts Jey. Then Jey winds up getting popped with a claymore. Bam! 1, 2, 3. Your winner, Drew McIntyre. Afterwards, then Jey winds up almost becoming a victim of a beatdown courtesy of Jim, but is saved by Seth Elizabeth Rollins because his middle name is not frickin' damn it. And then after he gets done saving him, then Drew comes back. Drew out of nowhere, boom, takes out Seth. So, yeah. So, the show ended with Drew standing tall and looking strong at the end. I got no problems with that, especially with their match coming up. Especially with his match coming up at Mania. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed this show. If you're watching on YouTube, like the videos, share it, and sub to the channel. If you're listening to this on podcast, please make sure you hit that follow, subscribe button, and share this with other folks. We're out there on Podomatic, Spotify. We just got the approval for Apple Podcasts. We're also on iHeartRadio and Deezer. And folks, I can't express on how thankful I am to everyone that takes the time to watch, like, and listen to this show. Thank you to contributor of this show, LFC Lingerie Fighting Championship. They're a little bit of wrestling, a little bit of MMA, and a whole lot of attractive women wearing a little bit of nothing. Also, thank you. Also, folks, make sure to check out whatamaneuver.net for some vicious rants apparel. We got t-shirts, long sleeves, tanks, toddler shirts, and what baby onesies. Perfect gift for somebody you love, somebody you hate, or something to just get to give to Goodwill and hold on to your stuff. Don't forget to follow these cats right here on the Twitter. DSB_IV MainEvent_net, the Main Event Wrestling Network account. Sergeant Curry Pants, 3 Count Thursday, D-Dryer 1986. Look for me on the Twitter at Team Vicious as well. And folks, Like I always tell you, and like the shirt says, if you love me, great. If you hate me,
shut up and sit down.
Fuck you.